Welcome to part two of podcast number 56, Neal Family Vineyards Director of Winemaking, Gove Celio.
Well, getting back to the subject of, you know, so you learned this from your dad, and obviously then you were easily bitten by the bug. You know, where did you go from there in terms of thinking professionally?
Well, of course, I never even thought of it as a profession or a career. It was just a fun hobby, you know, came once a year. You had this little flurry of activity, and then that was it. So I went off and did a couple of things. We talked about photography. That was my first career, and that didn't work out. Moved back to our hometown, Nevada City, was living there. And in the 70s, late 70s, people were putting vineyards in. They were just kind of popping up here and there. And so I looked into it, hooked up with a local farm advisor, would put on a seminar every once in a while about growing grapes in the mountains and some of the history. And, you know, here was a winery on this property built in 1880 and another winery built in 1870. And so that interested me, and I was at a dead-end job that hadn't worked out, so I decided to go back to school and study viticulture and do what Mark Neal's doing was kind of my goal. Mark is vineyard management, does a lot of farming here in Napa, and I thought, well, I'll just do the farming for these people planting vineyards in Nevada County, because most of the people were planting. Of course, back then the tax laws were a lot different, so it was a huge tax advantage to put in a little vineyard, and it was done by professionals. So doctors and lawyers were doing it, but they weren't going to be farming it. They were just doing it to have, and maybe they'd get another little winery up and running or sell the grapes. So I thought, perfect fit. I could be their vineyard manager, take care of all the farming for them. And I looked at the University of California at Davis. I also looked at the State University in Fresno. But I'd been out of school for 10 years and thought the commitment might be a little long. The price was up there. But more importantly, I started looking at graduates, where they were going, what job opportunities there were. And I ended up at the Santa Rosa Junior College in Santa Rosa. Very dynamic man by the name of Rich Thomas ran the viticulture department over there. I went down, sat in on a class, and got hooked and started a program there. And 6 weeks after my first class started, I had a job in Sonoma Valley and never went back to Nevada City, stayed in the North Coast.
Not bad. So after that, let's just go down one quick side road. If I've learned anything about talking to winemakers specifically, you certainly meet plenty of people who have gone to Davis and have that background. But I've learned it doesn't matter. You have to have the talent and you've got to have the passion combined together. Would you agree with that? I mean, it's people who know exactly what they want to create.
It is. And that's why I think you see a lot of people who have had one, two, three careers under their belt and have always had a love for food and wine and the romance part of it. And then they get into it and realize it's not as romantic as maybe they thought.
Definitely not.
But it's true. It's, you know, look at some of the people that have really made a mark. And especially now, you don't see that traditional progression from high school to college to where you're a winemaker. Very few really go through that traditional process.
Yeah, I would agree. So your path to ending up here at Neal, how did things turn that you became the winemaker here?
Well, I was in just outside of Kenwood in Sonoma Valley doing just vineyard management, making a little bit of wine in the basement and staying in touch with my dad's wines, selling him fruit. And my wife and I met while I was living there. Yeah, we got married. We were expecting our first child. And one thing about the vineyard management position that I had was I got to live on a 50-acre beautiful property in Sonoma Valley, but my compensation, part of it was the housing. So I didn't get paid a lot of cash. Mm-hmm. And with her expecting the baby, losing income, we thought, well, this isn't maybe going to work out best for us. So I chopped around to see what the going rates were and thought I could bargain with my past employer to see about getting a raise. And I answered an ad in the paper for a position up here on Howell Mountain and got an interview and met the owners and the consulting winemaker and got hired and moved up here to develop a property that was a winery built in 1888 and had been abandoned. The vines were all dead, nothing left of it. But they wanted to replant it and redo the winery and put the brand out there. It was a couple from San Francisco, and Mary Edwards from Sonoma County was the consulting winemaker. And so I moved up here with my wife and my baby daughter, and we felt a little isolated in this community, but it was really kind of a nice area. The nice group of growers and vintners up here, very small at the time. This was mid-'80s. Mm-hmm. And working with Mary Edwards and she was a consulting winemaker. She would come up once a month, and we would have meetings and talk about what needs to be done. And eventually, through our production, because we sold most of our fruit, but we made a little bit of wine under the label, I became assistant winemaker because she wasn't here full-time to keep an eye on things. And so she would give me a list of tasks, and I'd follow through. So after 11 years of working with her on that project, she moved to go full-time for her label, and I assumed the duties as the winemaker there. And I'd filled in a few classes at Davis, extension programs and things to brush up on the chemistry and fill in the gaps. And over the years, that property, the couple separated, the property was sold, we went from growing our own grapes to immediately having to buy grapes. And so a friend of mine, Mark Neal, who I had been hiring over the years to do different vineyard tasks for us, was sort of the go-to guy for grapes. What do you need? Where do you want it from? What clone do you need? Mm-hmm. And so we bought four varieties from several of his ranches. And over the years, he offered me a job here and there. And then he built this winery here at his home property. And there was an opening, and I took it.
And that was around, was it 97, you said?
Well, he made a little bit of wine in 97, 98, 99 were his first vintages. Because he'd been a grower his entire life. He was on his first tractor when he was 8 years old, working with his dad. Took over his dad's company when his dad passed away about 16 years ago. And he wanted to be able to, one, market his vineyard management company, and two, pay tribute to his dad, but also give his kids, he has five kids now, maybe a little diversity. So not just the farming side of things. He also has a trucking company, and we have tanker trucks.
Oh, wow.
And we haul bulk wine, bulk juice, barrels throughout Napa, Sonoma, up and down all of California, actually. And then thought a winery would be a fun thing to try. So he made wines, but he custom crushed the first few years, 97, 98, 99. And after 3 years of getting his toes wet and liking the response from the people who are trying the wine, he jumped in with both feet and started drilling a cave here into the hillside. And 2001 was our first vintage here.
And you've done pretty well since.
We've had a fun run. It's been a small production. We've been very careful about taking baby steps because the tendency here is anybody can make wine. Grapes are very plentiful. Sometimes they're more expensive than other places, but it's relatively easy to either grow grapes or buy bulk wine and put your label on it. But we've had the luxury of saying everything that we produce here is from a vineyard that he or even Mark's dad, Jack, planted back in the 60s. So they've been consistent fruit sources. We have total control from a viticultural standpoint in all the vineyards. And Mark's taken it a step further where he started experimenting back in the 80s with farming organically. And so all of our fruit sources are certified organically farmed sites. And then he built this facility with the understanding, after being a grower for so many years, what some of the shortfalls were in wine production. So he's outfitted this facility with everything we could possibly need to make the quality that we're after.
And it's a great facility. You were showing me the bottling line, which we'll have pictures of on our site, as well as, you know, you seem to be fairly self-sufficient. So about how many cases are you doing right now?
Well, we're down because of the last two vintages. The 2010 vintage, the 2011 vintages were not the best that Mother Nature could provide us with. So at a peak, we were a little over 6,000 cases, and we're going to be probably closer to 4,000 the next couple of years. And that's combined our Zinfandel, Sauvignon Blanc, a little bit of Petit Sirah, but Cabernet Sauvignon's our primary product.
Did you lose a lot of cab last year in 2011?
Not as much as in 2010.
Really?
Yeah. 2010 was a year where we didn't even pick one vineyard in particular on Mount Veeder, a very cool growing area for Cabernet. If we don't get the ripeness that we're looking for, we don't pick it and then add concentrate or enzymes or tannin powder. It's got to be in the vineyard for our quality. And if it's not there, then we just don't make the wine. So our production will vary quite a bit with that philosophy, as opposed to keeping the same production and supplementing with other fruit sources or bulk wine, things like that. So it's really only going to be from those vineyards that we control, and it's only going to be when the fruit gets the maturity. In 2011, we did have some loss, but not as significant as in 2010. We did see botrytis in some vineyards. Mm. We drop it on the ground, pick just what's clean, and make smaller amounts.
This is the end of part two. Visit lifebetweenthevines.com to download part three.